The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back, Monday, April 15th, 2024. Mr. Bill, good to see you. Why are you smiling? You're just always of a happy demeanor, aren't you? Almost always. Young David, it's good to see you. You are truly back in fine fettle now, having made barbecue and watched the Buckley documentary, all of which we will get into.
That's true.
Terry. And to the rest of you, it's good to be back with you all. 602-508-0960, 602-5080. 960. Where to start? I will start here. The discussions that came about as a result of Iran's fusillade launch against Israel over the weekend and everything about it, cause, technology, the enormity of it, lack a bigger conversation, a larger and I think more trenchant or important conversation. This isn't really at bottom about Iran, and it's not really at bottom about Israel. It's about the United States. It's about the United States in this sense. We have a problem. We have a big problem. Nature abhors a vacuum, so does geopolitics. In other words, vacuums will get filled. Cultural, ethnic, theological, and ideological fuelings, energumen, catalysts, impel certain societies to want to lead, to be in charge, to be the big man on campus, to run the show. When it comes to theology, you see this primarily in fundamentalist or radical or political Islam. When it comes to ideology, you see it, of course, in communism and Marxism. When it comes to ethnicity, you see it a little bit more in other Asian countries. Sometimes African as well. One of the places you see it at its nadir, at its weakest, is in the West. Western-infused societies have little interest in expansion. Mostly, Western societies are about equal rights and liberty. Mostly. Mostly. Which puts the United States at a tremendous disadvantage in geopolitics when it's up against forces. Forces that may be of composition, forces that may be of decomposition. But when you look at the world today, fueled by theocracy and Marxist ideology, they are forces of decomposition. So when I say it's about America, one has to ask themselves, taking a few steps back. When Barack Obama, as president, threatened Syria that they would be crossing a red line if they unleashed chemical weapons, and then they unleashed chemical weapons, that wasn't really the story either. The story was that they knew they could do it against the United States warnings, and they knew they could get away with it, which is what happened. The successor, or at least the inheritor of that foreign policy ideology, is Barack Obama's vice president. And there's not a warning he's made to an enemy country that has been abided, or that anything has been done about once those lines were crossed. Gerard Baker puts it in the Wall Street Journal today. The Taliban ignored Joe Biden's warnings and confident predictions of their failure and launched their final push into Kabul in 2021 while U.S. forces were still in Afghanistan. 6 months later, Vladimir Putin dismissed Mr. Biden's injunction not to invade Ukraine and marched right in. Now, after a foreign policy of one word, don't, Iran launched rockets and missiles over several other countries into another country, indiscriminately against military and civilian target alike. The U.S.'s reaction to all of these things has been muted. What is the message? What is the message? The message is that the United States is the paper tiger. The message is that the United States does not carry credibility or force, force of will or force of word. The message is that we will be pushed around. The message is that our allies have kick me signs on their back that we put on them. The message is that the forces of decomposition, which are powerful, you know why they're powerful? They believe in the righteousness of their cause. That's why they're powerful. They believe in the righteousness of their cause. The West does not. This is an inherent problem with an open society. The inherent problem with the open society is it allows anything to abide, take hold, and compete within it on equal footing. Which is why you get this nonsense of, well, I don't know, Carrie Lake has as much right to speak and Donald Trump has as much right to speak as the Karl Marx organization has a right to speak. Not the same moral plane. Not the same equivalence. The equivalence to Carrie Lake and Donald Trump is something like, I don't know, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. That's the same moral plane. Theoretically, they both believe in Republican forms of government. I say theoretically to be generous for the time being. Marxist organizations do not. And we are not a suicide pact, but that is the inherent problem of the West. Its openness tolerates to a fault an equivalency of every ideology that can find welcome here. You know where this ideology cannot find welcome? Gaza, the West Bank, Tehran, Russia, Tiananmen, Beijing. And you know where they don't have any self-doubt about the righteousness of their cause the way we do? Every place I just mentioned. That is the inherent problem we have today. So America used to have something on its side, the force of will to back it up. When you messed around with Ronald Reagan, you only did it once. And you didn't do it again. When you messed around with Donald Trump, you only did it once and you didn't do it again. When you messed around with Barack Obama and Joe Biden, you do it again and again and again. Any number of foreign policy authors over the years, and I've heard it attributed to several, have said sometimes it's worse to be America's friend than it is to be her enemy. This is what they're talking about. This is an anniversary, by the way, of the evacuation of Saigon. Is it not, young David? Do I have that right about 49 years ago today? I think I have it close to right. And we thought that would never happen again. By the way, what led to that evacuation of Saigon? Am I close to right? The Democrats voting to undercut all the aid that we were sending just at the point the war was turning around. This is not new behavior by the left in America. It's not new behavior. It's now just countenanced behavior. Countenanced behavior, tolerated behavior, endorsed behavior. They want us weak. And there's something about our Munchausen by proxy that wants us weak. Except it's not by proxy just to our allies, it's to ourselves. Because we think we aren't right and we think they have a point. Guess what? They don't, and we are. That's why this is about America. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. How do you not have a smile on your face when that song comes on? Love Is All Around, the theme to Mary Tyler Moore, written by
Sonny Curtis.
Curtis of the Crickets, exactly. Written and performed by Sonny Curtis.
I wasn't sure if this was a trick question, because that's also him singing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a trick question so much as a complete question. Every part of the answer helps itself, serves itself. That's all you got on it, Ro, for now, probably, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's go to Dave in Surprise. Hi, Dave.
Thanks for taking the call, teacher. Appreciate
it. Oh, my gosh.
It.
Thank you. You're so kind. Thank you.
Of course. So my original topic was just going to be to redefine the label the left puts on themselves. But your passion spoke to me. Do you mind if I switch gears a bit, sir?
You do whatever you want, sir.
Thank you, sir. So I understand the conflict overseas and how it looks like America short sells all of its quote unquote allies. I wouldn't discount the possibility. And in fact, based on what I've read since 2019, especially, but even before that, don't discount the possibility that it's not our enemies that are doing this to us. Into our allies, it's really us. Look back to the color revolution in Ukraine in 2014. All the work that Victoria Nuland did, that George Kent did, Yovanovitch did, all of them. All of the Obama Marxists are still in the Fourth Estate. We haven't culled that lumber. We haven't kicked it out of government. And I'll offer to you, this isn't Obama's third term. This is his fourth term. He never left Washington, D.C. He still had Susan Rice living across the street from the White House. And I bet Brennan and all the rest of them who never lost their top secret clearances could have run everything from the inside like they had if he was still in office. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You want to do your other issue, too? We have time.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't mind. So
I don't.
Words have meaning.
Yep.
And I think it's important. And I would say we need to reclaim the language, and the right doesn't do that well. And I didn't do it well myself. I was a country club Republican for a long time. I woke up in 2019 when they started impeaching the president, a president that I didn't vote for. But I was curious. I wrote to you in February of 2020 and said, why are 535 members of the legislative branch seemingly against the one person at the head of the executive branch? And the reason is because Trump is the disruptor in chief, and he was upsetting all of their apple carts. But we need to reclaim our language and our republic. Let's not call them progressives anymore. They're not progressing at all. They are regressing. They're regressives. Full stop. Thank you, sir.
Don't leave me yet. Don't
I'm not going anywhere.
I want to explore that one with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think about the word progressive a lot myself. And I don't think at the end of the day, those who claim to be progressives are in fact progressives. I think they're reactionaries. The progressive label historically has attached to liberal left movements, whether it was the Bull Moose, Theodore Roosevelt, third party run, or the Woodrow Wilson ushering in of progressivism in the Democratic Party, or even before that, Bismarck in Germany, I think. And it's attached to this notion that expertise by the elites can move us into an ever-evolving, advancing perfection or direction. At base, it's really man the maker. It's really a Marxist notion at base that man can control and overcome nature with the right machinations, can control and overcome history. And I'll leave that as one set of thinking and take you to the second set, which is much more relevant for our times. Those who call themselves progressives in Dearborn, in Chicago, in Manhattan, on the Golden Gate Bridge. I saw Hezbollah flags flying in Manhattan today, Dave. People were flying Hezbollah flags in Manhattan. In Chicago, they were shouting and chanting death to America. They call themselves progressives. There's not a single item on the progressive agenda that those they are marching on behalf of would support. Not a one. Not a one. Try doing that gay rights thing or that abortion thing in Hezbollah-controlled Lebanon. Try doing that gay rights thing or that abortion thing in Hamas-controlled Gaza, or for that matter, Fatah-controlled West Bank. Try it. Try it. You'll live for 12 hours, maybe. Try it in Tehran. Try it. When Ahmadinejad came to Columbia University, he was asked about gay rights in Iran. You may remember. Remember what he said? We don't have that in Iran. Not the rights. He said we don't have the gays. Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. These guys who call themselves progressives are going to usher in, if they win, the most reactionary, totalitarian, Stygian darkness the earth has ever known. Because it's 8th century thinking attached to 21st century technology. And it's not going to be a boot on the throat. And it's not going to be a boot in the eye. It's going to be October 7th again and again and again and again, and not just in Israel. And they will cheer for it happily, as they are doing today. And the Democratic Party will say nothing other than coddle and apologize for members of the House of Representatives who represent those areas and defend them. This is not progress. Not progress if you count in order. It's regress. It's regress. And it damn ticks me off. That's all I have to say about that. You can have the last word.
Well, you know, teacher, that they are members of the establishment class, the leftists, the politicians, the media, and most of them perform and they perfected misinformation, hypocrisy, lies, and projection. When in doubt, look around, and they are almost assuredly gaslighting you with everything they say, much like using the label, which was appropriate in the early 19th, 20th century of progressive, they are now the regressives.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time,
you
sir.
You too, and your kindness. Thank you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. John Dombrowski brings us our culture and economy update. He is the president and founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, grandcanyonplanning.com, his website. Those of you on hold, stay with us. We'll get to you in a moment. John Dombrowski, how are you? Happy Monday, sir.
Happy tax day, Seth.
Do you speak Yiddish?
No, I don't.
You want a phrase? I'll give you one.
Sure.
I haven't thought of it since I was a little kid, but young David just made me think of it because of the contortion on his face. The phrase is verkrimptepunim. It means sourpuss face. And I don't know why he did this, but it was like right before we went into the segment, and I said, what's going on? And he won't tell me. Do you have any idea? Uh-huh. You talk to him.
Gee, I don't know. He sounded very chipper to me.
Okay, it must be me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's tax day.
Maybe it's tax day.
Talk to me. What's going on tax day?
Gosh, all these different things. I'm reading all these articles about that. About 2 out of every 3 Americans expect a refund. And yet, you know, in some cases they're saying your refund, depending how you filed. And it may take longer than the average, which was 21 days. Yep. You know, I guess there's a lot of lines. I went to lunch this afternoon, and I drove by a post office, and the car line was out of the parking lot. People trying to get their stamp, you know, post-dated for today to make sure that they're not late.
Yeah.
So it's always good. Why not wait till the last minute?
Can I challenge the use of this phrase? I know that the government gives it to us as a phrase, so we don't have a lot of choice on it. But could we start a movement to stop calling it a refund?
Yeah.
It's money that you earned that they took first bite at that they're now giving back to you.
Overpayment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. You're right.
I think Milton Friedman said it was one of his biggest mistakes when he worked in the federal government. Part of the idea was to withhold a little. He was for withholding early on when he worked for the federal government, and he said it was his biggest mistake.
Well, you know, of course, if you don't withhold enough, then there is a tax penalty. You'll pay interest on the amount that you owe. It's not that bad unless
you owe a lot. But
it's
called taxes. That's what you call tax.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, were you surprised to see the way the markets and oil reacted to what took place over the weekend? Kind of interesting, huh?
It was, you know, and what was really interesting was we did see the market open higher today, this morning, and pretty good, a good amount. It was up substantially this morning, and it was kind of bucking what you would have expected when you had oil prices falling slightly, and yet you had the stock market going up, even though we had a pretty substantial attack on Israel from Iran. Fortunately, the defense has held, and that was a blessing, of course. But what was interesting is that there is some type of a partnership. I saw this was on the Wall Street Journal's front page, how the U.S. forged a fragile alliance to fend off the Iran attack. Yeah. So it's interesting that the U.S. is kind of playing it cool and downplaying things. But obviously, it seems like behind closed doors.
Oil
didn't go crazy. Now, if Israel does attack Iran and there is a stop in production, I think one out of every three barrels, I think it's a pretty high amount. 30% of the world's oil comes from Iran or something. It's a pretty large amount.
Well, it is now.
What's that?
It is now.
Yeah. So if indeed, there was an attack on Iran and it did impede the potential oil production, that could be a major effect to oil prices. Now, there's reasons why not only the U.S. and other, you know, people around the world, countries around the world wouldn't want that to happen. Even China, I believe, wouldn't want that to happen because they buy a lot of their oil from Iran. So I think there's reasons for something to be done, obviously, a retaliation in some fashion or another. But how they're going to do that under the table somehow, hopefully that they'll be able to get whatever type of solution out of this that they need. But and we don't have a major issue that sparks up here. And the markets right now, I think it's because interest rates went higher, Seth, and that I think all is falling on the numbers that we received last week, the CPI numbers. Still showing that inflation is here, and of course the nervousness about what's happening around the world, and so we saw interest rates rise. And whenever we see interest rates rise, oftentimes there's a sell-off in the equity sector, and that's what we saw today. And so we're going to have to wait and see how the rest of this week, follows through. But still, the markets are right near their all-time highs,
stable,
Seth.
I think if we can maintain a steady strain, we'll be in good shape. And I think
I think people need to just not panic right now and stay the course.
That's what makes you a man, according to Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, then you'll be a man, my son, right?
Yes, sir.
Rudyard Kipling, Ethics at Grand Canyon Planning.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com, and you can request an appointment with me right there. Securities and advisory services offered through Creative One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC, and Creative One Securities LLC, and not affiliated.
Thanks.
Talk tomorrow.
He could throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool, boy. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Roy is in Phoenix. Hi, Roy.
Yeah, how you doing, Seth?
I'm well. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. Hey, Seth, just to kind of give you a bit of a resume, I'm a volunteer for End Abortion Now, also known as endabortionnow.com, to give a plug. But we're working in association with Arizona Right for Life, the Klein also declined to sign Students for Life regarding a rally that we're trying to promote to get as many Christian folk and like-minded folk to Wednesday. As you may know, I know you know what's going on at the state capitol, right?
Yes. I've had a lot of folks from Decline to Sign on the show. I have promoted it. I've promoted the It Goes Too Far campaign. I presume we're all in that same universe that you're talking about?
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to garner as much support as possible. The pro-abortion forces are going to be there in large numbers to try to hammer through House Bill 2627, which we're wanting to give a huge thumbs down to, and that would be the bill that would repeal the 1864 territorial law.
I think we need to stop calling it the 1864 territorial law. Here's what most people don't know. Most people don't know that our laws went through a revision in the 1970s, including that one.
You bet.
And Wesley Bolin was the Democratic governor who was subsequently followed by Bruce Babbitt, who was the Democratic governor after him. And they signed off on all of this without comment, without peep. I think it needs to be called the 1978 Bruce Babbitt Law. That's what I think it needs to be called.
Okay.
He's the most current governor to sign it into law. Why are we going to the oldest version when we have a current version?
Right. And, you know, as a parallel, think about the 1865 a law, which was the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. They complain about it being an old law when, in fact, it abolished slavery. What was wrong with that?
Well, nothing was wrong with that. Just because something is new doesn't mean it's good. Just because something was old doesn't mean it's bad. But I don't want to use their language on this one. I want to use our language.
Okay, I hear you. Yeah, I digress.
No, so not at all.
The reason I called.
No, they actually, you know what? Neither of us digress. It's all our. It's all our. It's all our territory.
So I'm just trying to get as many like-minded Christian folk to come to the rally.
You know, I don't know why you keep saying Christian. Why is this a Christian issue?
Well, it's a Christian issue because most Christians are adverse to abortion.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't know if that's true or not. But this is a life, irrespective of religion. And I would have atheists there, and I would have Jews there, and I would have everyone you can get there.
I agree. We love everybody. You're correct. You're correct.
I would not.
Thank you for correcting me.
And I don't know if most Christians in America. I just don't know. Honest to God.
Right.
I mean, Roy, no disrespect. I wish it were true. I don't know that it is.
Right. Let me take it a step
this
further.
This is a massively Christian country by identification. It is not a massively pro-life country.
Right. Let me take it a step further, brother. I mean to tell you that I'm pro-life to the extent that I'm an abolitionist. You may want to know what the difference is.
Okay.
So the difference is that we want to abolish abortion to the degree that we have tried to put forth through legislation equal protection for all life laws. Equal protection simply means that the same laws that protect born people should protect people before they're born. After all, the golden rule is applied in this case. I don't want to quote scripture, but, you know, it does fulfill the royal law. And after all, if we're going to go with the 14th Amendment, it states no person shall be denied equal protection of the laws. Equal protection laws hold everyone accountable. They don't hold a gender accountable. Criminalizing abortion means criminalizing the act of abortion. This is the law, unfortunately, that didn't even get a hearing back in January when Warren Peterson would not even allow a hearing for it. These are the types of laws that are put forward by, I don't know if you've heard of Bradley Pierce, who wrote the amicus brief to the Dobbs.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Okay.
This is his connotation of I totally agree with, but I don't know if you wanted me to dive into all this.
No, I don't think we need to. I do try and cover it as much as possible. I'd like to think probably more so than any other radio host in town, although for some reason, well, I won't get into it. No, I appreciate it, Roy, and I thank you. I don't know that this has to be a religious issue. I mean, it's great that churches and synagogues and other houses of worship pray for the life of the vulnerable or the unborn and all that. I just wouldn't limit it. There's a big Atheists for Life movement, and I would embrace that. I would embrace anyone who stands for life, and I think I can make a non-theological defense for life based on human reason, unadulterated human reason. And it is perhaps sad to me that we have to think of it only in a religious context. Although, you know, of course, there's no mistaking the fact that the more religious one is, the more respectful of life one tends to be. But, you know, sometimes the devil quotes scripture too. And we can't just say because you're going into a church, you're going to find a church that, for that matter, a synagogue that supports your position on affording 14th Amendment rights or personhood rights to the vulnerable or the unborn, or the vulnerable who are born, or to the righteous causes in life. Human reason is a powerful thing. It can be corrupted. Religion is a powerful thing. It can be corrupted. And the left is masterful at doing so. And that's why I would say invite everyone. Invite everyone who agrees that there's something wrong in a society that can't say no limit whatsoever to the ending of a growing human life. At a certain stage at a minimum. At a certain stage at a minimum. I think there's something wrong with a society that can't understand Ronald Reagan's point. Which is, isn't it interesting that everyone who argues for abortion has already been born? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Mike's in Phoenix. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Seth. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Good. I'd like to address just a few things, especially concerning your last caller. And I'm with you. I think our beliefs are pretty well aligned, but I think that, and I in my business, my particular business, interestingly enough, I do business with a lot of churches. I just want to preface this. And my family is a mix of Christians and Catholics, and they seem to identify each other differently. The Christians don't really think the Catholics.
I know that world. Yeah, I get it. Okay. I always get a chuckle out of that. Actually, I know I shouldn't. And people say, you know, Christians and Catholics. When I grew up, man, they did not divide that. But go ahead.
I know, and that drives home the point of where we're coming. And I think this caller, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, but he kind of displays an exclusionary arrogance that's happening right now, especially within our party, that really worries me. Because I think Donald Trump hit it right on the head about 2 weeks ago, and I just heard him say this in passing. First, we have to win. We have to win. And the problem is some of the, and this is an extreme, don't get me wrong, I hate abortion. I'm very aware of how many black babies have been killed in the United States in the last 20 years, and what I think is for the subversive reason is. But what I'm seeing is that when we start seeing things like, I'm inviting all my Christian friends to come down and rally in this thing.
I don't either.
And it's an arrogance, and it's an elitism.
You know what would make this heart cry a little bit happily? If at that rally you saw a lot of people with yarmulkes on their heads.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head.
You know, it would make this heart warm. It would make this heart warm. And why wouldn't you want that?
Why wouldn't you want that? And why would you set up the whole preface in the beginning to exclude that in a way? And it hurts me to hear that. And I have to tell you, I guess if you had to classify me, you'd probably classify me as a Christian. I've not been to church in 20 years. but I really strongly believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic. I'm well schooled in it. I know the Bible very well, and I try to live like a Christian. So therefore, I believe I'm a Christian. But this, what's happening right now in this, we have to understand.
I think we are on the same page. I got to take a break, and I got to guess. You're welcome to call back, Mike. This is an important issue. But I'll tell you something else that would warm this heart. It would warm this heart if I saw banners that said atheists for life, too.
There you go. Okay.
I really don't care what someone believes on Saturday or Sunday when it comes to public policy.
Right.
I mean, I do, but it's not the most important thing. You know,
That's right. It really isn't.
Take what you learn on Saturday and Sunday and get out on the streets and march with your fellow Americans for life. That's what I said. Bless you. I got to go. Thank you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.